December 15th, 1901. Rome's youngest museum, the National Museum in Diocletian's Thermae. Simply to walk here is beautiful enough. An orange grove with hundreds of fruits. The arrangement of the works of art is nowhere so carefully planned as here. They are enjoyed andante. The statues are not treated like propped up bowling pins. Each piece occupies its proper place. My feeling for bronzes is growing. December 15th, 1901. For the last few days, the weather has been rainy and warm. Yesterday, rainstorms with thunderclaps. Today, unfortunately, somewhat colder and yet not clear. I work every day with my window open. Too little happens at night during the season of short days. Carnival time is going to bring some life into the place, so they say. La Duse plays the title role of D'Annunzio's Francesca di Rimini, and her performance never flags. Only her ingresso has become a bit weaker. The night before my birthday was stormy, filled with lightning and heavy showers, and extraordinarily warm. Storms often accompanied important events of my past life. The last year not without its mad complications. Such a one shall not come again, for not all that has been attained shall fall to pieces. I believe in the possibility of carrying things through. Let those who love me rejoice.
After 3 years, having pushed over the narrow wobbling gate, I strolled around in the little garden, gently illuminated by the morning sun, spangling each flower with a dim flash of light. The simple arbor, it's all still here. Nothing's different. The madly growing vines, the chairs of cane. Always making it silver murmur. The fountain in the old aspen is perpetual lament. Just as before, the roses thrive. As before, the huge proud lilies waver in the air. I know every lark, coming and going. I've even found the statue of the barbarian prophetess, still upright down the walk, her plaster spalling. Splendor amid the mignonette's insipidities. Nature. Nothing in you moves more. Not the nurturing fields, nor the ruddy echo of Sicilian pastoral, nor the dawn's pomp, nor the doleful solemnity of the sun as it set. I scoff at art. I scoff at man also. Song and verses, Greek temples, tower stairs and spirals, stretch into an empty sky of cathedrals. A single glance of good and bad sufficing. I renounce and I abjure all thought. And as for the old irony, I conjure. And no one should speak to me of love again. Tired of life, afraid of death. Not unlike a lost brig, toy of ebb and flow in the ocean. My soul weighs anchor for a frightful shipwreck.
Now, gentlemen, let us turn to the following question.
Yeah.
When we analyzed nervous patients in the neurological clinic, I came to the conclusion that there are two specifically human neuroses, hysteria and psychasthenia. I related this conclusion to the fact that man offers two types of higher nervous activity, namely the autistic type, consequently analogous and close to that of animals, which also perceive the external world in the form of impressions, exclusively and directly by means of receptors, and the other, intellectual type, which functions with the help of the second signaling system. Thus, the human brain is composed of the animal brain and of the purely human part relating to speech. It is this second signaling system which is beginning to prevail in man. It can be assumed that under certain unfavorable conditions, when the nervous system is weakened, this phylogenetic division of the brain takes place anew. Then probably one individual will use predominantly the first signaling system, while the other will use predominantly the second. It is this that divides men into artistic natures and purely intellectual abstract natures. In unfavorable conditions, when this divergent attains a high degree, a morbid manifestation of this complexity of the higher human nervous activity takes place in the form of, so to speak, exaggerated artists and exaggerated thinkers.
I think that these sentences have been hidden too long in the pages of exhibition catalogs, and that perhaps that by my singing them for you, it will bring these sentences to a much larger public. I'll use the same ordering and numbering that he has. I'll try to pause between each statement for clarity. It may be that occasionally I will have to sing one sentence over more than once, and that I might not get the phrasing correct. Conceptual artists, or mystics rather than rationalists, they leap to conclusions that logic cannot reach. Rational judgments, repeat rational judgments. Number three, illogical judgments lead to new experience. Number four, more alarms.
I'm going to go to the next one. 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 I'm going this.
Yeah.
study of the higher nervous activity provides a clue to an understanding of certain aspects and phenomena in the pictures of psychoses. We shall dwell first of all on some forms of delusion, namely on the variations of the persecution delusion, on what Pierre Janet calls senses of possession. The patient is persecuted precisely by that which he particularly wants to avoid. He desires to have his own secret thoughts, but he is certain that they are constantly being disclosed and made known by others. He wishes to be alone, but he is tormented by the persistent sensation that someone else is in the room, although there is nobody there except himself.
The following conclusion can hardly Such a glorious, there is no time, I am the ghost of the past.
there is only one true thing, and the self a weight, a small stone, an eye that sees, another eye that feels, man animal, clock of blood.
I can't imagine a life without doing art. I mean, I wake up thinking about art. I think about it all day long and go to sleep at night thinking about art. And in the shower, driving, that's what I do.